Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, this is Professor Applewhite of the Saturday morning. Stay tuned. But we're in Shutters Rock Communication today. Music 219 MRT. Hit that horn, guys. Hit that horn, brother. Oh, I wish I had that kind of musical talent. That, I'll tell you, the River Nile from his album's Remembrance. And we thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Student to Teacher to Student radio show on the internet. Talk about technology, talk about communications in the 21st century. My folks are talking about the 22nd century now, my friends, because it's not too far away. And what is it going to look like as far as communications? I mean, we're still, many of us are still having challenges with looking at what we're doing in the 21st century. We still have many, many people, students specifically, are still afraid of computers, the basic keyboard. And being afraid, I don't mean that you think that the computer is going to eat you up or anything like that, but that you feel this sense of apprehension about, I think I'm going to make a mistake or whatever. Well, we're here to tell you that in today's world today, we communicate by computers. That's most of the ways that we communicate. I think in many ways that's sad, and I think as you hear some of the special guests coming on today, you'll hear them say things like that, that we have lost communication in the sense of talking, speaking to one another. We don't speak to each other. We don't touch each other in an emotional and loving and spiritual way anymore. We use machines. We use text messages. And we've taught our children how to move away from the human connection, the human communication into the machine connection. So we have some special guests on this morning that will lead us into a discussion. And we encourage you to call in. And we're going to have, we have some callers on the line right now. Let's see who's on the line. And let's see our first caller here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. This is it a 480-824 number?
Yeah, this is Tom. I was just saying, I'm just starting to learn the regular computer world myself. And I think we are losing touch with the basic communication because people don't write letters. They don't visit each other. They just communicate by computer. And on the one hand, it's better. The computer's better because it's faster and stuff. But on the other hand, people need love and affection, and you need to work towards giving people pats on the back and stuff like that. It's important for teachers to do that nowadays more than ever. And students also back. It's a two-way street.
That human connection. And maybe that's what we should have called this, is technology versus the human connection. Because you're right, Tom, is that, and you as the president of the Student Advisory Board can speak to that, because most of our communication with other students around the world are because technology has opened that door for us. But one of the things that we're trying to do, and I know I've seen you do it, I've heard you do it, is that when you talk to students, you have such love and compassion for them that it does come through the telephone line. And I thank you so much for that. And any of you listeners out there that want to speak with Tom about some of the issues that you're dealing with school and work, feel free to call him at our business line. Dorothy Nichols Rashid will give that to you in just a moment as she reads the show caption for today. Let's just make sure that we've got everybody. I don't want anybody to feel that we're letting them go on this switchboard. I don't want you hanging on there. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you? Who's calling in at 213?
Oh, good morning. This is Dorothy, a resource consultant for White Apple Institute. Good morning.
Hey, we're just talking about you, Dorothy. We're just talking about how great you are as a resource consultant. And we know you got some good stuff for us today. And we're going to come back for you so you can tell our listeners how to call in and share their ideas on how to make our communication more sensitive and more human, even though we are using all these machines. Okay, I'll be right back with you. Okay, Dorothy?
Yes.
All right, let's see who this is here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Hi, Professor Applewhite. This is Martha Bergen.
Martha Bergen, Dr. Martha Bergen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We certainly needed you as a professor of sociology. And I'm going to say one of the experts in the communication field. I really adore the way that you teach communications. I've heard many students say that they want to take Dr. Bergen's class in communication. So I know you have a lot to share with us today on how we can move communications into more of a human aspect. Okay? Let me get one more caller here,
okay.
And then I that Nazim has many questions as we begin our interview for you. One more moment, please. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. May I have your name, please?
Nazim.
Hi, this
Rashid.
And here he is. This is our co-host for today. And as our co-host is going to lead, and I'm going to take over on the chat room today, because our co-host has a number of questions about communications and how we can develop a more human interaction with others, even though we have to use these machines, right, Nazim?
You're right about that.
Oh, I mean, we can't get away from it. We're not going to stop the Bill Gates, and I don't mean to, Bill, don't take that wrong if some of your people are out there listening to the show today. We need the technology, and the technology is a good thing. However, we also don't need to lose touch with who we are as human beings. And there is a way to do both, because I hope that the listeners out there, as they tune in every week to us, can feel the compassion that we have for them to go to school, for them to go to work, and that we will support them. Okay? I hope we get that message across. What do you think, Nazim?
You're right about that. You know, that's something that we all need to make sure that we impart, you know, how to really connect with one another. You're right about that.
That's right. And there is a way to do that, even though we, you know, remember of course, you don't remember the telephone when the telephone was invented, but because you don't look like you're that old, okay? You don't look old at all, brother, okay? So... But we do remember the stories of how people were against the telephone. Remember that? And they were afraid of the telephone.
You're right.
Remember? Yeah. And as we move towards the telephone being a source of communication that made things easier for us, then we began to adopt it into our way of life. And it's the same thing with computers now, but we've got a long way to go with computers. There's still a lot of people that are afraid of it, and only the advanced countries actually have computers in their schools, you know, which puts a lot of, from a global awareness standpoint, puts us at a real disadvantage. Okay, I think that was all. We have one more caller in here this morning, and I will try my best to make sure that everyone gets onto the switchboard as they call in, as Nazim Rashid is conducting an interview with Dr. Bergen. Who is calling in? This is Professor Applewhite.
This is Maria.
Hello, Maria. Maria, it's so good from you. Maria, tell the audience what you do for White Apple Institute.
Well, I'm trying to do the data entry, and hopefully I'm trying to learn the computer.
Try to
support every Sunday, every Saturday, the show.
That's right. And Maria is a very important part of the show. Maria, please feel free to jump in at any moment while our co-host is conducting an interview with Dr. Bergen, because this is very important, especially when we talk about countries like Mexico and other countries that may not have computers in every classroom, and they have to learn computers in order to grow and become part of the world community and be able to work and feel comfortable that they're learning. So you feel, please jump in any time so that they can hear your comments, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, now we're going to turn this over to Dorothy now as she reads the show comment, and then Nazim Rashid will take over with the discussion with Dr. Bergen. Go ahead, Dorothy. It's all yours. Tell us how to improve communication and listening skills.
Listeners will be empowered by what they hear from our guest speakers this week regarding improving our ability to communicate and listen. Special guests Dr. Bergen, Dr. Martha Bergen, Professor of Sociology and Communication, Jewel Diamond Taylor, self-esteem doctor, and Beverly Pohlsmith, a.k.a. Doc Bev. These experts will be interviewed by Professor Apple White, host and personal development consultant, co-host Nazim Rashid. This positive dialogue will encourage you to look inside yourself and recognize your true potential. Listeners will benefit from the information shared by our wonderful resource consultant, me, every Saturday morning. That's kind of strange reading my name in here. Okay. Remember, if you know a teacher or a student who can benefit from our services at White Apple Institute, please invite them to listen. Also, contact us if you wish to support us by donating, volunteering your time, or shopping online by joining White Apple Institute blastoff.com. And our call-in number again is 646-727-3758.
Yeah, that kind of cut off a little bit, Dorothy. Tell our listeners how to call in and participate just one more time, would you?
Yes, it's 646-727-3758.
All right. Also, we have a chat line. Don't forget that for those of you that are at the computer and a little gun shy about going on air, you can always communicate with us by the chat line on computer, and we welcome your questions. So, Nazim, it's over to you and Dr. Bergen now, and I will be here to add my comments, but I thought I would like to hear both of you really expound on this issue. Good morning.
Okay, here we go. Dr. Bergen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Nazim. How are you?
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to improv this morning because I didn't know I was going to be in this position, but that's okay. Here we are, and it's good to kind of go with the flow. So please tell our audience I guess, your background in communication skills there.
Oh, okay. My actual degree is in intercultural communication, and I actually started with that subject because it fascinated me. And then after I had studied culture and communication for a couple years, then I went back in and I started to learn some of the more basic skills underneath all of these things. So I sort of learned communication backwards. And so discovering the importance of the basic communication skills relatively far along in my educational, I was already in graduate school and everything, and I was already actually teaching. And then I was asked to actually teach the basic skills, and so I had to go out and find out how that's done and what is involved there. And it was just an eye-opener for me and just totally changed my life, improved my life so much. And so that's why I always take a look first at the basic communication skills that any person can do.
Sounds wonderful. And then tell me more about the cultural experience you had with communication, because I know that with different cultures, they have different sets of rules and sets of standards and different norms that we might have over here. So tell me about those challenges.
Okay, well, I started out and I was just in community college and my father passed away and the insurance company would not pay on my mother's life insurance policy that she had with my dad. So we were just totally broke, destitute. I was working as a person who goes out and cleans people's houses so that we could eat. And so that left me in a position in college where I had to look for a way to, you know, find a job and get through college that, you know, sometimes a student will feel like there's just no support for them anywhere or that they'd like to find a job, but they aren't really ready in terms of being able to get to work or maybe not have the right clothes to get to work. Or maybe they didn't eat something the day before, so they don't know how they're going to get to work. And that was pretty much the place that I was at. And I just happened, a friend of mine introduced me to these people from the Middle East who needed a tutor. And the one thing that I had going on was that I did know my my actual schoolwork, the classes, the information, and I could tutor. And so I got this job tutoring people from the Middle East for 7 years. And I learned about the difference between Middle Eastern people and American in terms of norms and the different ways that people look at spiritual issues, emotional issues, marriage, that kind of thing. And for an example, there's a big difference in how people take a look at how you should greet somebody, how close you should be to that person or how far away. One time I came to a dinner at somebody's house and I was their guest and I brought with me some food and they said, "Oh, don't give that food to the host. They will be so insulted." Because in our culture, if we cook food for our guests, we don't need to have somebody bring food. That would be an insult.
Wow.
So it's just the basic stuff, you know?
Dr. Bergen and Nazim, when we speak about intercultural communication, it's so interesting that people automatically think that we're talking about it from a global perspective, but I've even, some of the things that you've mentioned, I see happening right in the United States. I mean, in our school systems of different cultures being developed here, and we really, truly don't have an intercultural communication course that deals with how we communicate with each other, even in the American culture. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree that we have this thing called diversity, which is learning how to enjoy the differences that people bring to the table and how to avoid our prejudices and how to, on the other hand, turn that upside down and say, what does this person bring to the table that I don't have that we can use together to create a real positive outcome, you know, collaborate and be creative and enjoy one another. And the thing is that here in America, we call that diversity, but the minute that we turn and meet somebody from, you know, Asia or Latin America or Europe or something, then we're like, oh, my gosh, this is an intercultural encounter, and we have this whole other word for it. And I think that's hilarious.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very good point, especially when we talk about students today, and not the, you know, I don't care what age they are, but of course we deal with more of the adult students, and we find this as we have more students that are from different countries and different cultures and belief systems in our classroom, we've got to start integrating a little bit more on intercultural communication and how the computer can be such, I think, a big support system for helping us communicate, as long as we're doing it in the right way.
Uh-huh. So what we're really looking at are, what are some of the basic principles of communication? And you know what? It doesn't really matter, in a certain extent, if you're on a computer or you're just talking to somebody. There's just some basic principles that are always going to apply. And the two that I chose to really emphasize today are big topics, and I don't know which one you'd really end up talking about. It depends on if people call in, I think. But I would look at self-esteem, first of all, because how you feel about yourself, it really creates so much of your response and your ability to create a conversation with others. That's number one. And also listening. That people think communication is talking, but if they really kind of sat back and really listened to the other person, that would just help everybody so much.
Yes. And that's one of the things we don't do a lot, is we don't listen to each other. I mean, we type back and forth and we read. You know, I remember the first time I got a text message with all of these different symbols in it, Nazim, that instead of spelling out Y-O-U, it had just the letter U. And you know what I'm saying? And and I didn't know what the heck it was saying to me. And it's like, oh, I had to learn a new code, you know? So I'm still learning a new code, you know? So how do we bridge this gap to improving our communication and listening skills while still maintaining the fact that we have to be in this 21st century and we have to be at work and school and use this technology, but we don't want to lose the human communication skills.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, it's hard online because online there aren't any nonverbal signals. It all has to be done through the actual writing out of the text. Like if you're being playful with somebody and you're just joking, people will put in a little smiley face so the other person doesn't get offended by the joke and take it seriously by mistake. And that is what's really challenging to me about your basic communication skills when you take them online, is that nonverbal component, you know, the tone of voice. Even on radio right now, you can tell what mood I'm in by how I communicate. And even that is gone if you're just doing like a text message. So that's so much skill, you know, involved in that.
That's a good point, Nazim, because when I hear Nazim playing music, You know, you could just music, which is one of the greatest communication ways of communication. I can feel his music, you know, and of course, if you could see him in concert, you could feel his energy. But now we lose that somehow when we listen to a record, and that's why I guess people go to concerts, you know, because they want to have that connection, right, Nathan?
Sure, of course. Absolutely, yeah. You know, see most of communication, most of communication is not really through words at all. And when only you have words, then it's harder because people can't feel the energy. They can't feel the spirit. And so that's why if you're using words solely, you have to spend a lot of time with verbiage, a lot of time with words to get your energy across. And that's why it's difficult through the technical things we have now, you know, to really communicate your real message. It's really hard like that because most communication is not through words at all.
Now, I know that we have about 34 minutes left on the show, but we have, and we're always pleased to have Tom Baker on because not only is Tom a model student in the fact that he is paraplegic and he doesn't mind talking about how he became paraplegic, but that's not what we're going to do today. Tom, what I'd like you to do is share with Dr. Berger, Dr. Bergen and Nazim Mashin, how difficult it was for you to learn a whole new language to communicate in college. I mean, not only did you have to deal with what we're talking about the computer and all of these other things, but being a person with a disability, having to learn how to communicate and enhance your listening skills and help other people to enhance their listening skills to listen to you.
Well, when I was in college, I was injured and became a paraplegic. Fortunately, it didn't affect my speech or anything, but when people communicated with me, I didn't want them to feel sorry for me, and that's one reason I got into basketball and swimming and weightlifting and stuff. And I find that true communication, you have to learn as a disabled person to some degree or another to make the other person comfortable with the fact that you have a disability and you're okay with that and that you accept them without a disability. The first question a lot of people want to ask is how you became disabled. I mean, it's a curiosity type thing.
It can get really aggravating.
I tell you, one time I got aggravated. Happened to me twice. I got injured 22 years ago, and two people did this to me. And I said, I'm going to college. And they said, why are you going to college? And I said, well, I want to go there and get my degree. And before I could say any more, they said, oh, I see. You could get your degree so you could marry some nurse or something who could take care of you. You know, and it's like they had no idea in the world that I had a brain, too, and I might want to use my degree to help me take care of myself, you know. And it can be difficult.
That's a very good thing to share.
But I happen to be good at communicating, so it was easier for me to get better, you know, as far as feeling tense about talking to able-bodied people. And you got to get used to people staring at you, too.
Yeah, very good point. There's some basic rules with our time left that I'd like you to listen very carefully to what Dr. Bergen and Nazim Mashid have to say about. Here's some basic rules of communication about receiver and communicator, and I'd like to review some of that, Dr. Bergen, if you don't mind, from the earlier, the introduction of communication into our college systems, and then let Nazim talk a little bit about how he's taken that and taken it into a different perspective in his book, Reconnecting. So would you guys do that, Dr. Bergen? Just give us like a a quick overview of the basics of communications?
Well, sure. In communication, the basics is that you have a sender who sends the message, like says hi to somebody, and then the receiver who hopefully gets that message. But the problem is that it's not like that person's going to automatically know what you're saying or what that means to you or what you're trying to say to them. A message has to travel through a channel, like even just air, between one person and another, and the other person has to hear it, and then their brain has to understand or interpret what that person means. And there's this thing that we call noise, which is anything that interferes with the communication. So noise could be an airplane going by so you can't hear what the person is saying. Or noise might be attitudes or prejudices or emotions that get in the way of either clearly sending your message or having that message be clearly understood. And that's why we emphasize listening so much, because listening is about being able to really think about, is there noise affecting this message, or am I really understanding it?
Okay. And also there's non-talking messages that people send, their body language. The body language, yeah.
Nonverbal, yes.
You know, and they can be very important. If the person's sitting with their arms and legs crossed, for example, that can mean they don't want to talk to anybody. They just want to be by themselves. And a lot of times you're best leaving them by themselves. Or you know, people are bored when you're talking to them because their arms are crossed or whatever. I mean, body language is a whole science. And each of us sends body language and reads it in a different way. And it's very important to be sending out the right message with your body signals and stuff, too.
But Nazim, when we go back to reconnecting in this virtual reality that we are talking about now as we move into another century, our communication skills are going to have to adapt, okay? And so how do we bring the human connection back into the technology of communication? Do you know what I mean? Am I saying that right? Does that make sense?
Well, I believe I hear what you're saying there. I could be off, but I believe I hear what you're saying. And so when you're looking at, why don't you rephrase your question now?
You'd like me to rephrase it?
Yes, please. That way I'll make sure I'm...
As we move, right now, when we look back at where the telephone was and where cell phones were, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, whatever, and we look at the fact that now we have these computers that basically can do all kinds of things for us, okay? We can talk to each other on the computer. We don't have to see each other to even communicate, which makes us lose that human connection. And so what I was wondering about is that how do we bridge the gap where we don't lose the human side of connection? That's so important. I want to be able to know you, my brother, okay, even though I have to use a computer or a text message or whatever. I don't want to lose that communication.
Okay, I follow you now. And the best way to do that without having the physical presence is to spend a lot of time with intentions. A lot of time with intentions so that you're making triply and quadruply sure that you're getting your intentions across to the person so they understand you the way you want them to understand you. You see, that's very important. That, you know, because when someone is listening, they want to know, what is your intent? What are you trying to say? What is your objective in talking to me? You see? And when you're face-to-face, you can get it through body language. You can get it through their presentation. You get it through their eye movement, you know, and so forth and all that. You know, but when you're, when you don't have the human element there, they don't know what your intent is, you see. And so, therefore, you got to spend a lot of time with intention, what you're trying to achieve here. And so therefore, you spend a lot of time with that. And then after you do that, you want to ask the person, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? And can you just paraphrase back to me? Give me a little feedback as to what you're hearing me saying.
Right.
See, so then when they actually text you back, and then what they're texting you is what you're actually intentionally trying to text them, then you know you're connecting. See, that's very important. Now, even with the idea of paraphrasing the feedback, that's important when you're face-to-face. And when you're actually talking to someone, only way you're really going to know is to get feedback from them. That's the only way you're really going to know. And so you need to do that. But see, we're communicating, like Tom is saying, with our body language. Matter of fact, in my book, I've called it the 93-7 principle of communication. Again, the 93-7 principle of communication. And that means that 93% of effective communication is through nonverbal cues.
Yeah.
You know, and it's broken down to 55% body language and 38% through tone of voice. So basically, you have 93%, and only 7% is through actual words. You see? And so if you get to 93-7, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to clarify. Are you saying to me that if I was talking to you or Dr. Bergen via text line or via email, that it would be a good idea that when I write what I'm writing, that I say to you, did you get that? Did you understand that? So that you write back to me and say, yes, I did, or clarify in some way so that we don't have a misunderstanding. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, go further with that. When you say, did you understand, they might say yes. But see, now that is what's called a closed question. And closed questions, these are closed response. That's not good enough. So therefore, you want to make sure to ask open questions, all right, open questions. So therefore, open questions makes the person expand more, you know, expound more, and to give you a better description as to what you're saying. Then you know for sure that they understood what you're trying to impart. That's important. So therefore, you would say, can you give me, you know, some feedback of what I'm saying, so that I want to make sure that you're getting what I'm trying to give. So can you just feedback to me what I'm saying so that I know that you're understanding my intent? And that's a little better.
That's so hard, though. When you talk about Maria, and Maria, you're still online there?
Yes, I am, and I want to ask a question, too.
Yes, because, Maria, I'm really concerned that when you, because you talk to a lot of students, and when you have English as a second language, now you're trying to learn English language, and you're trying to learn computer language, and you're trying to learn how to communicate in a culture that's different, and here you go walking into a college classroom, and you're trying to make something out of yourself in this world. I mean, that must be a tremendous journey. And then, of course, I haven't even added in the fact of your disability issues.
Right.
I mean, in a wheelchair. Please expound and help us to understand how we can help you more and many others like you.
Oh, boy. I guess it's very difficult because for the first thing is that I don't understand everything you guys said. That's one thing. And then it's very difficult for me to express myself the way I want to express or to say something that I want to say, you know, clear for you guys to understand me. And when having a difficulty too is difficult because sometimes, like Tom was saying, sometimes people. Like sometimes I'm talking for my strength. Sometimes I'm walking, and it could be in my walker, with my walker, And sometimes people don't know how to approach me. They look at me and they feel like they want to run away from me. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with them? Why do they make me feel like they're trying to run away from me instead of being, I mean, now I'm talking about everybody, because some people are very kind, very sweet, but some others, I guess people have to, I don't know, I think that all comes down to all of us, is that we need to change. We need to learn how to treat people. We need to learn a lot of things in life that we haven't learned from our youth. And that's what, and I mean, that's one part, that we all need to change. Me, I have to become better so that I can communicate with somebody, I can be sincere, I can be real in life with another person. And what I was going to ask the question to Nasheen is when he says about communicating through the internet and text messages, whenever he said something about intentions or whatever, I don't know if I got him, but we have to he was saying something about when we communicate with somebody and to feel what is it that they want to say to us, it's like when somebody, I guess what I'm trying to say is that we need to be sincere when it comes down to talking to somebody else, to listen to them, and to also respond to them with sincerity, even if it has to be through the internet, to put our feelings and be sincere when we respond to somebody else.
I like that word. Naheem, Dr. Bergen, and all those listeners out there, think about that word sincere for a minute. I think that that's an important word to use when we're talking about communication as we move into the 22nd century. Isn't that something? I can't believe it. We move forward with all this technology. We lose sincerity, don't we, Dr. Bergen?
You're saying that we lose sincerity?
Yes. Sincerity, I think. Look what we're hearing. We're hearing people say that they meet each other online and then they meet the person and it's not the person that they thought it was going to be, that people lie online and they lie about their resumes. I mean, there's a lot of that going on.
Well, people can lie face-to-face, too, but I think one of the things about meeting people online is that you can filter out and you can show that person and not, sincerity is an important subject here. If you meet me online, I'm going to show you my best side, which is the side that is most connective to you, and you're going to imagine me in your head in a certain way. And I may be sincere, but I may not be showing you all that I am. But then when you meet me in person, you're going to see more, and it's not going to match that picture that you were creating in your head. And I think it's really important, to go back to listening. Like, remember when you asked Naheem a question and then Naheem said, wait, I want to hear, what is that question again? I want to make sure I can respond to your question. That is listening. That is listening. Yeah. It's making sure that you understand. And some people think listening is just sitting there like a vegetable, and just letting the person talk. And no, listening is a very active process that involves really interacting until you understand where that person is coming from in their wholeness, their intention is, so to speak, going back to that.
I think that's important for Maria and other people, as Tom was bringing it out, is that, you know, just like Dr. Bergen says, try not to be apprehensive about asking someone, what did you mean, okay,
right,
when you said just now, because many times we may be misperceiving what a person says, because we get so many of those ugly looks, and I know the looks you're talking about, you know, and be ignoring you and not taking time to even understand what you're saying, especially teachers, even college professors. I know that you've run into this problem, but try for a moment to give them a chance to explain what they meant. How about that, Dr. Bergen? Does that sound like a good idea?
Oh, gee, that's a tough one there, because I think that a person with enough education and enough professional background to be a college professor needs to be sensitive to others, that they need to stay open and not give that judgment out there. You know, we all have our judgment, but to make it dominate us without staying open to listen is something that I think people really need to resist and struggle against and stay open. And I think that you know, that goes back to self-esteem. If I feel somebody's judging me, then I have the right to ask them to just stay open and listen. And they should do that. A college professor should do that. Or if they make a mistake and realize that they've judged and they've closed themselves off, they need to apologize and open back up. Anyway, that's what I think. What do you think?
I think that's important. But here again, and this is what my dissertation, my research is on, is that there are many, many teachers and professors out there that do not give students an opportunity to explain themselves. They're so busy. And I understand, I mean, there's a balance here. They're busy with grading and many conferences they have to attend and all of those things. But we enter the field of education, like you said, as mature individuals, as intellectuals that should be able to talk to our students and understand them. And I've heard so many horrible stories about how someone in a wheelchair, or especially someone with cerebral palsy, having a difficult time trying to get a sentence out, and the professor will actually walk away from them. Now, tell me if I'm right or wrong, you guys, some of you out there on the call this morning. Am I right or wrong? Do people actually walk away from me, especially these educated professors and teachers?
Well, some of them just walk away. Some of them want to help you and some don't, but
must be
this is Tom. A lot of college professors, I've noticed in junior college, really like to help you, but by the time you make it to ASU, it's kind of more with most professors, make it or break it.
Yeah. And we'll go ahead and say to keep a balance here, ASU and NAU and many of the other universities. We don't want to target just one. So, but that's a good point, because when you get to that, when you get to a classroom that's full of, let's say, you know, 300 students in a study in a hall, it's very hard to listen and communicate with different people. And so, I want all of us to be aware of the fact that that does happen, and sometimes it's not the professor that's making that happen. Sometimes it's just the way the system runs. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
Okay. So the key is here, the underlying theme, if I may ask as we begin to come to a close here, is that we look at ways to communicate with more sincerity. I heard that word come up, with more compassion, with the ability and confidence to be able to say, what did you say? Would you mind repeating that again? I misunderstood you. I think that was a very good point you brought out, Dr. Bergen. Is there anything that you'd like to close us with, Dr. Bergen, that would help us more with our success and our communication tools to be successful at school and work?
I'll leave you with a phrase that I share with my students. It's one of the basics for the class, which is I communicate with respect, which means that I have the right to be here and you have the right to be here, and I have the right to talk and you have the right to talk. And just to start from that basic position, it gives you a firm foundation to stand on, and hopefully you can get people to open up and listen, and you can listen to them. And if they don't let that get you down, because you still can respect yourself and you have the right to be there. And maybe it's their problem. As you were saying, not everybody, even well-educated people, are that good of communicator, or maybe they just have a bad day today. You never know. But just to keep it, hold on to that self-esteem and try the listening, and just hang in there and see if you can make the connection. Because when you can, you know it, and then you're connected with somebody, and it feels good, and then you can get your needs met.
That was so beautiful what you said just now, because I hear that a lot. Why can't a professor just have a bad day? Sometimes it doesn't mean that they're mean to you, or they don't like you, or that they're racist, or that they're anti this or anti that. Sometimes you're just having a bad day or a stomach ache, okay? It could be. So don't take it. Watch your sensitivity. As we talk about sincerity, watch your sensitivity also, both student to teacher and teacher to student, as what our show is about. Nazim, would you like to close with something inspirational in a moment as we listen to Dorothy give us a few updates here? Dorothy, I'm having some technical difficulties with with our switchboard right now. I have 26 minutes remaining on the show. Is that about right?
I see 9 minutes remaining.
Okay, I think you're more right than I am. Something's happening with the clock on there. So let's go ahead with your 9 minutes remaining and go ahead and finish up. I want you all to listen to how you can shop online and help build and support White Apple Institute and the work that we are doing.
Yes, our website is WhiteAppleInstituteBlastOff.com. When you join at that site, when you shop online, you will get cash back, but also White Apple Institute will get a little percentage as well. In other words, it's a win-win. It's free. It's a way that the stores are actually paying their customers to refer other people to them. So Blast Off Network offers more than just shopping online, but that is a way you can actually check your money every month. You'll be sent a physical check in the mail. You do have to fill that part out, put your address in where you want your Blast Off check sent. I found that out. And
you know,
any questions you have, just call White Apple Institute. I'll be happy to help you.
That's right. Right. Give them that number for our institute, Dorothy.
It's 480-659-8582. And I want to also remember some of our sponsors, Wendy Duncan, Eric and Adele with Specialized Mobility Services. So we have any of the names you hear. Also, there's the lotion, Jerry and Donna McGovern. Have a lotion for taking soreness out of your muscles and things we learned about last week. So
for them, yes. And one of our biggest sponsors today that you're hearing, and I don't think many of our listeners know how important Dr. Martha Bergen is. She's not just a guest speaker on our show. She is an honored member of our board of directors for White Apple Institute. And she has helped us to develop our 501c3, which is still pending. And we hope that you'll be able to give tax-deductible donations in the future. But right now, if you do go to, what is it, White Apple Institute Blastoff, .com, you will be still able to help us and help yourselves with a discount rate if you shop online.
Yes.
Is there anything else that we may be forgetting? Oh, Habibullah Salim and his wife with the Cultural Food Bank. We want to thank them very much for feeding the community. We know how important physical food is to mental food.
Oh, yes, yes.
And any resources that you need, if you have a cousin or a nephew or anyone in your family that needs help to go back to school, to go back to work, to stay at work, and they're feeling very depressed about it, please have them call us. We want to help, and we can be a great support system. We love all of you and wish you much love and peace. Leslie, you have something inspirational to share.
Well, I just want to say that in this idea of communication and listening skills, it's something that cannot be completed in the small time frame we have, so we have to do more because there's so much involved. And one of the main things that's involved is understanding your role when you're talking to someone. And are you playing the role of the communicator or are you playing the role of the listener? And so each role has their responsibilities. And they can switch, but you have to know which hat you're wearing. And that's really, really important. That's really important. And so there's other levels, looking at how we communicate with ourselves, with others on the job, texting. There's so many levels. And so I think we need to look at all those areas so we can have a real clear idea of how we can become the best communicator and best listener possible. So I'm telling you, most people do not understand that. This is why conversations don't go well a lot of times. People steal conversations from one another, and people feel bad, you know, and so forth. And self-esteem is a part of that, like Dr. Bergen was saying. So there's a lot more into that. So we need to look more into that. But keep one thing in mind, that we all have a divine spirit inside of us. We all have that God force, that source energy, that spirit inside of us that deserves honor and respect. And everybody has that. And so if we can start on that level by respecting and honoring that wonderful divine spirit in everyone we talk to, start there and make sure our intentions go to the other person so they understand we are respecting them and that God spirit within them, that could be a big boost in how they receive our message.
So am I to understand in closing that not only do the teachers, the educators that we talk to, need to put on a more sensitive and compassionate hat, you're also saying that the students need to put on a more compassionate and sincere hat. Is that what I hear you saying, bottom line?
Well, yes, it is a two-way street. Everybody has to understand the same thing, that everybody is here for a purpose. But bottom line, we have a divine spirit inside of us that deserves respect and honor. And if both parties understand that, that will speed up the communication process immensely.
Okay. Any other comments from our audience, our listening audience? We had a few come in on the chat line, which was really very nice. We appreciate you coming in and talking to us on the chat. We'll get back to you. We want to wish you much love and peace, all of you out there. We look forward to hearing from you next week. We will be starting a very interesting series, and if you know anyone that would like to participate on our panel, we'll be starting a panel on how to work with the most debilitating of diseases. And I say that in a way where you understand that we do not call something that is terrible, but something we have to adapt to, like cancer or HIV. And so if you have anyone that would like to come on the show, please invite them in so that they can talk about how they work with dealing with these things. Thank you, Dr. Bergen, so much for joining us this morning. And all of our other listeners out there, we look forward to hearing from you next Saturday. And this is Professor Applewhite signing out. Much love and peace. Thank you. Five, four, three, two, one, and thank you very much for participating this week on Student to Teacher to Student radio show on the internet. Thank you.